Entering the luxury market is both an elusive and enticing goal for many filmmakers. But the road to get there involves unlearning a lot of what we've known to be true in our careers so far. On today's show, Taylor and Kelly from The Level Up Co. are popping the hood on the luxury wedding film market and sharing their secrets on how to build the business of your dreams. My name is Ben, and this is Make Better Wedding Films.
Start with Taylor. Let's start with you. It's been a long time since you were on the podcast. Why don't you give us a rundown on what you've been up to in the last few years?
Yeah, I think the last time I was on was maybe 2021. So a lot has happened. A lot has changed. Thank you for having us back and for me to bring Kelly on for her first time. It's so fun and such an honor. But yeah, so much has changed, honestly. You know, we're kind of freshly out of COVID times, so obviously all of that happened. And during that window of time, as we all probably experienced, I really kind of like honed in on growth in my business, making the most of the time that I had not filming weddings. We're based in California, so I know that a lot of the US was a little looser with some of the rules with weddings coming out of COVID or at the tail end of COVID, but California was a little stricter all the way through for the most part. So it affected us even through 2021. But yeah, a lot has changed. I have brought Kelly onto the podcast. That change happened in January of this year, which has been so fun. Kelly, for those of you who do not know, is the creator of Illume Lutz and half of 618 Studios. They are fabulous. If you don't already follow them on Instagram, go check them out. And actually, as we're recording this, Kelly's going to hate me, but it's her birthday today. So happy birthday.
Hey, happy birthday, Kelly.
Thanks, Taylor.
I love birthdays, so you will not go unnoticed.
Oh, my Amazing. Goodness.
Well, Kelly, hi. Nice to meet you and welcome on the show. It's lovely to meet you.
You too.
Yeah, excited to hear, like, basically, how did you guys get paired up? Are you longtime friends, like, first-time acquaintances? How did the, you know, the Taylor-Kelly power pairing come to be?
Yeah, so we actually get this question a lot. And, Taylor, I don't know if we've ever, like, had major conversations about this, but because they were like, how do you know Taylor? Like, how? And I was like, well, we kind of just knew each other, like, through social media, and she was like such an early adopter on Illume Lutz and just like hit the ground running with like you know, with that. And I don't know, she just like grew really quickly too, and we always kept in touch. And then Taylor had Elevate Mastermind, and she asked me to come on and do some color grading teaching. And so but we didn't know each other really from like all that much of like a personal level at all. And then this year, I'll like never forget. I was like in a workout class at the gym. I'm like leaving the gym and I go to check my phone, and it's just like a text from Taylor. And she's like, so this is really random, but would you like to join me on the Level Up Co? I would love to have a co-partner. I'm finding that it's a little bit lonely to do this on my own, even though I have a heart for teaching. Would you consider it? And I like just like called her right away. I think you were like, hi, like not expecting my call. I was like, yes, of course, because I've really had a heart for this. My husband and I have been filming weddings for 13 years coming up this summer. And, I don't know, I just always have a heart for education, but beyond like filmmaking and editing, really talking more about diving deep into branding and profitability and etiquette and, you know, all things that are so different than what our medium is, but make so much of a difference in leveling up our business. So that's kind of all how it all happened. Taylor, is that kind of your recollection too?
Yeah. I mean, we weren't like total strangers. Like I'd had you on in Elevate. We'd had some phone calls, some Zoom conversations. You were on my podcast. All these things had happened. So, but I will say that it has been so much fun getting to know her a lot better over the last 5 months. Like we're like calling each other like multiple times a day with like these crazy ideas that we have. And it's actually probably dangerous for us because we both are just like doers. That's like what I told Kelly. I was like, I want you with me because you're a doer. You make things happen. You don't sit in this like fantasy land of like dreaming things up and never like executing. Like you do it. And so we both are, and it's kind of dangerous because we have just like crammed like so much stuff for Level Up in the last 5 months that we're just really honestly like, I don't know if you can tell, but we are just like really excited about it. Over the last combined 20 years, like we've both grown our businesses into serving the luxury market. And we realized that there was kind of a gap in wedding filmmaking education. There's not a lot of filmmakers talking about the luxury market or how to get there or the business side of things. There's so much amazing education on like how to film a wedding, how to edit a wedding, how to craft a story. But we were finding the business side lacking. And so we kind of like carved out this little corner of the filmmaking world and we're excited about it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's cool. It's been great to see how you've like crystallized, like, cause like the Level Up Co as it is today, like sort of, yeah, like you say, like niche down into luxury wedding filmmaker education. Like it wasn't what it was when we last had you on the show. So what's been your kind of like, I guess, epiphanies into like really crystallizing into like, this is what we're here to talk about. Like why the luxury market and why has it been, I guess, an area of wedding filmmaking that you both sort of found yourselves pushing your businesses into?
Yeah, we feel like filmmakers, all of us, we're kind of the new kids in school, we always say. You know, wedding photography has been around for decades and decades, yeah. And florists have been around for decades and decades, and mm-hmm. all of these things, but it's still really new for clients to standard. It's still not a standard practice to have a wedding filmmaker, and we just see that there's so much incredible growth ahead, and so we just want, like, all of these people that are just like ready to embark on this journey towards the luxury market for us to like guide them in a way where like Taylor and I have done it and we're still growing, but we want to be able to lift the veil into you know, not steering all over the road with no course of action or no vision or no strategy in place. Because for my husband and I, like I said, 13 years, I mean, it didn't have to take 13 years. If I would have had a mentor to guide me and telling me, like, this is how to communicate with wedding planners so that you're in their back pocket every single time to refer you weddings. Or, you know, this is how, like, the luxury market works, these high, you know, high production weddings. And, you know, just kind of how to position yourself in that way. Like, it doesn't have to take, you know, years and years and years. And so that's why Taylor and I, you know, have dove so far into the luxury market, is because we feel like there's so much to gain, and for our side of the industry to, you know, profit and gain from it too.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's this, somewhat lucrative, aspirational kind of world, and you know, like everybody wants luxury stuff, no one wants to pay for it, right? But what's been some of your learnings? Because I think, I don't know, it's a kind of thing where I think a lot of filmmakers want to get there but often come up against some roadblocks and some brick walls, and I feel like it's because there's a lot of unlearning and counterintuitive stuff that needs to happen between going from, for want of a bit better word, mainstream weddings into luxury weddings, and how they're sort of somewhat completely different, I guess. So where do you guys want to start in breaking down the audience's, I guess, understanding of where they're probably at in their head of what a wedding is and how to film a wedding versus what a sort of super high-end luxury wedding even is and how different it is to a mainstream wedding?
Well, you definitely hit the head. We actually talk about this on the podcast, but also in a course. But it's extreme to luxury, and just, you know, there's so much unlearning to do. Sales tactics or like where you like price middle pack to be like, what's the word I'm looking for? Like the most, what am I trying to say? The one that people want to get and the most,
yeah, like the price, like the that, price anchoring. Yeah.
Yeah. So that doesn't really work in the luxury market. Like having memberships on, not those don't work. The wedding plan of like your market. So like on a very basic level, like it is completely opposite, and it can take a lot of people time to come around to that way of thinking, because if you've been in this for years, like you truly like have, you kind of become stuck in your ways, and it's hard to rewire your brain and how it works. And it took us some time too, and that's okay. But we kind of like walk through the process of all of these things that do need to change. But luxury weddings can look so many different ways. But we can get into like price point and what kind of these events feel like if you want. And we're speaking in US dollars. So your audience that is not based in the US, of course, this is going to look a little bit different. But essentially, the wedding industry is broken down into tiers. And towards like the entry level, I don't want to say bottom because it's a journey and there's no like bottom or top, right? So the entry level where you begin is anyone with a starting price point of under $5,000 US. That's the budget market, air quotes here. That's what it's considered. And then next is considered the lovely market. And that's with anyone whose starting price point is between $5,000 to $10,000. Once your starting price exceeds 10,000 is where you get into the luxury market, but that's broken down into segments as well. So 10 to 12,000 is the entry level market. $12,000 to $20,000 is the mid-level market. $20,000 to $30,000 is upper. And then it actually does go on from there, which is kind of mind blowing. Kelly, do you want to jump in on how they look?
A lot of times these luxury events, it's huge. It's really big on guest experience. So I think that a lot of times when someone is venturing on this path to luxury and you kind of have to like undo it all, right? You kind of have this base of where you've learned and, you know, how you serve more of these more mainstream or budget clientele. I think a lot of us can attest to it requires a lot of handholding. We're conversing with the clients a lot more. When you start to move more into the lovely market and the luxury market, you're working with planners, and that's when you'll start to see a planner come into your inbox instead of, you know, a client coming into your inbox. And depending on the level of planning that client has hired that planner for, you may not talk to the couple at all. You may talk to them on an initial call, and then the planner kind of takes it from there. You may send over a questionnaire, the client might fill that out, and then you'll deliver to the client afterwards. But it's not so much of like regular touching, like, you know, regular
touch points.
Yeah, touch points. It's like less touch points, but more intentional with your touch points. So that's kind of the difference between that mainstream to the luxury aspect. A lot of these are also multi-day events. So typically now when we are putting together custom proposals for our planners, it's including anywhere from 2 to 3, maybe even 4 days of events. And that could be a Thursday rehearsal dinner, a Friday welcome party, Saturday wedding, Sunday farewell brunch, you know, kind of all the different events. These high wealth clients are putting on a full experience, a full weekend experience for their guests. And that's a huge thing. Story kind of starts to bring on a whole new element. When you're kind of shooting these mainstream or budget weddings, it is really important to focus just primarily on the couple story, because in a way that's all you have is the couple story. You don't really have like different experiential moments throughout the course of the day, or you don't have, you know, these beautiful design pieces to lean on also. And so in the luxury space, it really is a lot about pulling in all those different elements, the couple story, the guest experience, the design. They all kind of interweave together to tell the full story of the weekend. And I think that's a really hard thing for people to grasp, because they've just never experienced it before. But it is something that takes on this really cool story throughout these wedding weekends. So it's fun.
Yeah, it's cool. It's an interesting one, because I feel like in some ways you have to sort of deconstruct and re-engineer your business to sell to planners as much as couples. But do you guys then, I guess, see your... Do you see it that way? Do you see it as like all your messaging and packages and everything is sort of like directed at like getting planners on board? Are like planners as much your clients as the couples themselves? Like how does that sit within your brain of how you think of your business?
I would say so. Yeah. If the planner is doing a really good job with their branding and their messaging, then they're attracting the clients that they want. And if you are doing a really good job of your branding and your messaging, then you're then attracting the kind of planners that you should be bringing in. And honestly, everything should be in alignment from there. And the same goes with the photographer, the florist, all of these things that they have chosen, the creative partners involved. But yeah, the planner does essentially become your client. They're the main point of contact. You want to please them and make them happy, because a lot of people love the idea of like having their clients refer them to their friends in the future. But when you think about it, like they only have a pool of, I mean, what's like maybe a maximum of 10 people that they could possibly refer you to. Like how many people do they know who are getting married within the next couple of years? Whereas a planner can send you dozens of referrals. And so they are really the key to marketing and to growing your business, and keeping a relationship and attracting ones that are in alignment with you is so important. And it comes down to a lot of things. It comes down to style, type of client. There are some planners who are really well known for like celebrity weddings. Is that something you want to pursue? Or maybe that's not something you want. There are planners who specialize in domestic destination, where they're working a lot in like Aspen or Wyoming or places like that. And it's like important to align your branding and your business and your portfolio and all of these things with planners that you want to attract based off the kind of work you want to create. Personality also comes into play. So just like with all of us, some planners are very like cut and dry, down to business, you know, and some are more bubbly and like friendly, and like finding people who also align with your personality is important. Otherwise, if there's a disconnect there, it could feel strange. Yeah. Kelly, yeah. Do you have anything you want to add?
Yeah, I also wanted to add too, because I think sometimes when we hear this, all of a sudden we hear like the breaks and clients are like, or like filmmakers are like, whoa, 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 no, no, the planner's not my client. Like that makes no sense. I need to get to know my clients. Mm-hmm. I need to have multiple conversations with them. And I mean, I get it. Like we were there too. Like we did the coffee dates and the follow-up coffee dates and like got invited to like our clients' baby showers or birthday parties afterwards. And that was fun when I was like 23 and like didn't have a family and this was like all we had. But it's like now, like, I mean, I have two kids. Like, I don't have time to go to my clients' birthday parties. Like, it's like I would rather take like their great check that they sent me and like call it a day and provide my services. In the luxury market, it's just a little bit more of a business transaction. Not that that's a bad thing. I will say I have never felt more trusted by my high wealth clients. They fully trust their wedding planners. Their wedding planners, like Taylor was saying, when it comes to personality, right? So these wedding planners are spending dozens of meetings, just how we maybe did a few meetings here and there. They're doing lots of meetings, design meetings, tastings with them. They're doing all the things. And so they get to know their clients on a level that we maybe even never used to when we were serving the budget market. And they know their personalities and what they're going to need on a wedding day. Do they need someone who's going to be all business? Because that's going to be great with their client. Is it going to be someone who is needs some bubbly positive energy? And so knowing, you know, when you form these relationship with planners, it just becomes this like beautiful harmony, because they get to know the clients. Then they say, hey, Kelly and Paul or Taylor are going to be a really great fit for my clients and their personality and what their vision is for their wedding day. And it's like a seamless mix. So it's really cool to be able to like see it all together. It just feels different. But again, like Taylor always has this, what's your saying? You're like, what no longer serves you? Like
what used to serve you will not continue serving you moving forward, or something like that. I don't know. Whatever got you to where you are is not going to keep getting you to where you want to go. Like let it go and move on.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's interesting. And it makes sense when you think about the fact that the planner is doing a lot of that relationship building, and that actually the couple don't necessarily want to do that again and again and again with every single fucking vendor. Mm-hmm. Like they do it once with their planner, and then their planner is trusted with communicating that who that couple is and their vision and everything that they want to all the vendors. And so I want to dive in a bit to that that planner relationship now. Like I think everyone listening is keen to know, like, price. Let's talk about price. We want to know how much we can charge and how much we can get to that $20,000. I think we'll get there. we'll dangle that carrot for the end of the episode. But I want to talk about planners now, and there's two things I want to talk about. One, how people go about building relationships with planners in a way that makes them feel like you're not just humping their leg. Because I think I imagine a lot of planners just get bombarded with people just like, "Hey, refer me, give me weddings."
Yeah.
And I imagine that would be a pain in the ass. And so I'll save the other half of my question for after this. So let's start with there. How do you guys think about and approach building meaningful relationships with planners? And how do you think a lot of people maybe get that wrong?
I think people make the mistake of casting a really wide net and sending the same email to 50 planners and expecting any sort of response.
Yeah.
Planners can sniff that out immediately. They know that you sent that same email to all of their colleagues within the area. Trust me, they have group texts. They're talking about you, and I mean, not in a kind way.
Just like, in the group chat, just texting, "Hey, did you get this email too?" Yep. Okay, cool.
Don't do that.
Blacklist.
I think I'll take the first part, and Kelly, you can take it from there. But I think a lot of it really comes down to like understanding who you are, who you want to serve, and branding yourself accordingly and getting your ducks in a row. Like, you really don't want to like pull the trigger too soon, because you only have a single chance to make a good first impression. That goes with all relationships in life. And this one is a very important one. It can be very lucrative. So you don't want to waste that opportunity. So make sure your branding's in check, your website's on point, your Instagram is curated to the way you want it to look. And then be honestly like really hyper specific in who you're targeting, based off of like the kind of work you want to create and who's in alignment with you. You don't need to go crazy and email 50 people. Start with a few, because at the end of the day, you really don't need that many solid relationships to create a really great and sustainable business. You only need a handful, because if you're doing 2 to 3 weddings with each planner that you have a relationship with a year, like, your calendar's full. Kelly, do you want to get into kind of how they go about that?
Yeah. So like, what I think is really helpful in it, like I said, I always really encourage students of ours to like, you don't need a huge, you know, arsenal of planners in your back pocket. If anything, that's going to be like less helpful for you, because then you're going to end up being booked when these planners are reaching out to you. And then they're going to be like, well, they're never available, so I'm going to stop referring them. So it's really important to like really just have like a solid like 5 to 7 planners that you have a good relationship with, and like come at it from a genuine thing. Like, there's a conference. I don't know if are you familiar with Engage, Ben?
No.
So Engage is a conference. It's actually like a worldwide conference. So like, they'll have some in Dubai, or like they have another one. Is it like Mallorca coming up?
Monaco,
all the places, like some in US, but like most of the time there's 4 a year and they're like out of the country. So a planner friend of mine was like, when we go to Engage, it's just like, we're thrown to the wolves. Like, refer me, refer me, refer me. Like, you're just like being like, it's just bad. And she's like, that's never going to work. Like, like, just like get to know me on like a personal level. Like, even with like when it comes to like gifts for planners, I was recently on a retreat with a few different planners, and they were saying about gifts. They're like, I mean, it's a sweet gesture, but a lot of times I can tell like they don't know me. Like, the things that they're gifting to me, I'm like, you know, I don't know. They're gifting me like champagne. I don't even drink champagne. Like, if you just took a second to like really get to know me, like, all they want is for like someone who's genuine and then does like really killer work for their clients and makes their clients happy, because that makes their job so much easier.
Yeah. And I think that's definitely one part of it, is one, being genuine, wanting to actually get to know these people, not just be like same email, like actually getting to know someone. I think people can wrap their heads around that like pretty easily. Kind of like, knowing it's one thing, executing it's another. But what about, I guess, understanding like what a planner actually wants from a really great wedding filmmaker?
Yeah. They want the client to have a really good experience with them. I mean, honestly, when you're getting a referral from a planner, like, don't take it lightly. They are, like, really sticking their foot out for you and, like, vouching for you. And so, like, I'm always like, don't mess it up. Like, this is not something to take lightly. Like, this planner, like, I don't know if you guys have had an experience. Have you had an experience where, like, you recommended, say, like, a mechanic or like a plumber or something, and you're like, oh, they're the best, they're great, and then your friend had an experience and they were like, yeah, that wasn't so great, like, I didn't have a good experience with that, and then you just feel like so let down and embarrassed. Like, that's how a wedding planner would feel too if you like really let them down on a wedding day for their clients. And so yeah, just not taking that lightly. They're also looking for, you know, In this luxury space, design is huge, right? They're looking at every single individual linen that they're hand choosing, like, that's, you know, a specialty linen, specialty napkin, flatware, all that stuff. So it is important for them to like have those things showcased in the film, captured. Like, again, it's all part of the story. I'll never forget, like, 3 years into business, we were asked to like shoot some getting ready something, like a escort table. And I was like rolling my eyes because I was like the young filmmaker that was like, oh no, I don't do that. It's all about the story. And they were like, I was like, this doesn't make sense. Like, it's just like a object, but it was a part of the story. And when I looked back on it in like years now, I can see. And so yeah, they want to see that. They want to see like that you care about all elements of things, like not just the client, or not just the client, but like the investment that these clients spent for these weddings that can be $1 million+. So that's why, like, for the client, like, that's important for them to have that captured too, because it was such a large investment for them.
And
yeah,
do you
I would
guys,
also add that.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, sorry, Ben.
Jump in. No, you jump in. I'll finish okay. After. You go.
I was just going to say, I also think that, like, wedding day, like, etiquette, knowing how to read the room, and having kind of just, like, an unobstructive or unobtrusive presence on the wedding day is really huge. Not choosing a creative team on the planner that is going to like make the day all about them and their needs. Someone who is going to be very like team oriented and think of like the creative team as a team. It's not just about you and your film and what you need to showcase on Instagram. It's like truly about the couple and like serving them, not chatting grandma up about your drama at home. I don't know, like getting into unnecessary conversation, like a lot it does come down to etiquette a lot.
Do you think it's beneficial to come to planners with a really clear, really specific idea of like what your brand is and businesses outside of just, because like once we're in like luxury market, luxury is just like feels like a super generic term. Do you like it, rather than coming to a planner and be like, hey, like I'm a good filmmaker, refer me. Compared to say coming to them with like, because I guess like surely a good planner wants to have this like roster, this like palette of colors that when a client comes in they can go, oh, well, that band would be good, and oh yeah, that photographer fits that style. Is coming to a planner with a really clear like, hey, if you've got a couple who like want to have a banging party and it's all about like big bold party, like I'm that filmmaker, I'll make things look as big as possible, as amazing as possible, like whatever, versus so like, hey, if you've got a couple who's like, I don't know, everything's like as elegant as and smooth as possible, then like I'm that filmmaker. Is coming to them with like a really clear vision of like, this is who I am, and if you've got this sort of client, I'm the number one pick for them. Is that is that valuable to like when you reach out to planners, just like come in with like really clear like, hey, this is who I am and this is who I'm not?
Yeah, I feel like that it all comes down to just really clear messaging in your branding. And I feel like I've had conversations with planners that say like, it's really helpful for me if like all of my vendors have a very clear, you know, everything aligns. Like you said, like Taylor was saying earlier, like your Instagram's in alignment, your portfolio is in alignment with how your branding speaks. So like if you are that like hype party, all fun videographer, like your branding should like exude that too. Maybe your headshots should kind of exude that too. If you're more of like that ultra traditional, elegant filmmaker, then all of those things should come into play too. Even down to like your brand colors, like your logo, like all those things, because it's just going to come through that way. I don't know if it really needs to be like, and even like your copywriting, that's something too that Taylor and I talk about in the course, like even down to like the verbiage that you use on your website that exudes like a certain energy. Is it like, is it more of like an ethereal, like happy, you know, joyful, or is it more of like, you know, high energy, fun? Yeah. Like all of that really has to align. I think that's like, I just feel like that's why so many filmmakers fall into this like plateau of like not being able to like, you know, raise their prices and get into the next market, is because like they haven't really gone. The vision isn't clear. Yeah. And they haven't gone back. Like, sure, you know how to shoot a wedding, you know how to edit it, but like, do you know how to like directly speak to those planners to refer you clients that are going to pay you $10,000+?
Yeah. Absolutely. No, that's something that I'm very clear, and I see a lot of wedding filmmakers who are stuck in that kind of, I think, fear of closing some doors. But until you start to close some doors and get some clarity, like it, you can't go through the doors you want to go to get to where you want to be.
Yeah, actually, finally, I kind of used sorry, we have a we're putting on a free workshop this week. We'll get into it more, but there was a comment from someone who was like, I am worried about like even choosing an ideal client and having my brand aligned. Like, I feel like that's very disingenuous. Like, why can't I just serve everybody? And this is something that we see a lot.
It's a trap.
A lot of people say this, especially in the filmmaking world, because we're just like very into like our art, right? But I kind of use this, I like commented back and I kind of use this example of, like restaurants, right? So like maybe, I don't know if you guys have the Cheesecake Factory where you are, maybe you're, okay. So they have like everything on the menu. Like you can get a burger, a steak or pizza or, tacos or anyway, you can get anything.
Like Thai food. Right?
But it's like Thai food. Yes, you can. But it's like, but it's the Cheesecake Factory. And like, is any of it like really like amazing? I don't know. Does it cost very much? No. So we go there, right? But like if you're thinking about business in tiers like this, like we're aiming to be like a Michelin star restaurant. Like we want to have people come for a 7-course dining experience while paying $1,000 a head. You know what I mean? Like that's what we're aiming for in the luxury market. And you're not going to see that. Like they're going to specialize. They're going to be like a steakhouse, or like they're going to pick one thing. And they'll do seafood.
This is the thing. I think we'll touch on this when we get to pricing. When I think it's a great analogy, thinking of it like a Michelin star restaurant, because when you get to that level and when you're coming there for the experience, you walk into these places, you don't even get a menu. Right. You sit down and the experience just starts. And I think when we start to think about pricing and what we're actually offering, I think that analogy will sort of come out again, and like how we price and present, and like, is it of unlearning the whole price anchoring 3-package system that we all sort of just like, that's what you meant to do. So before we jump to break, I want to do one more question about planners. And this is kind of circling back to what we mentioned right at the start, where filmmaking is still wedding filmmaking, wedding videography, it's still a baby in the world of weddings, planning weddings and stuff. So what are you guys doing with planners in particular to kind of like, I guess, work together, maybe educate them on like what it is you can do, what you can offer, how it's different to photography? Because I think this is sort of an area that I'm really interested in around like, especially for like wedding filmmakers wanting to break into that luxury market, because there's already all these photographers who are already in the luxury market, full of them. And they're starting to offer video. And so like, how do you educate a planner, and how does the planner educate a couple on the difference between a really specialized like wedding filmmaker and what they can do versus a photographer who also just sort of happens to offer video?
Is there? You may not like my answer.
I'm interested to know if if there isn't, and if it's like a, yeah, hit me, Taylor.
Okay. All right. I think that coming at it from a different way will be most beneficial for everyone listening, like on a fundamental level, and just seeking out the planners who very clearly already value video. If a planner values video, then you can tell because the creative partners or the filmmakers they're already bringing on, and you can see this through like who's tagged on Instagram. Like you already know these filmmakers are at this level. So that means that planner values video and is doing an excellent job of communicating this value to their clients if the client didn't already like have that idea in their head. And I honestly think this is going to like just take a little bit of time as an industry. I mean, wedding filmmaking the way we know it is not even 10 years old. You know what I mean? Like it truly isn't. Like highlight films are much different than they were, and that is much different than like what my parents' wedding video looks like, you know? And so I just think it's going to take time, and I think we're getting there. I think that the gap is beginning to close. More and more couples are having video brought on, and with social media being much more like video dominant these days, with Reels and TikTok and YouTube Shorts, if anyone watches those, like they're seeing the value in video as a medium. And I just think we need to stay the course and be really patient and honestly, like kind of get ahead of the curve. Like if we can get in on it, like really early on, then we can just ride the wave of like video becoming more popular and more sought after. And I don't know if we will ever exceed photo, like as like dueling industries. We're not, they're our best friends, right? But like we may be able to meet them, you know. I think over the next decade.
I also think, kind of going back to your point where you're like, how are we going to get planners to like see or not just use these photographers that are bringing on video, I almost might argue that those planners aren't quite in the luxury space yet. Like maybe they serve more of like that lovely market, or they've just maybe think that they're more luxury than they are, because true luxury planners, the luxury market really, really values people who are experts in their craft. So they don't necessarily want like a blended photo video team, because I mean, people might not like this answer. But I truly believe that like, if you live in both worlds of photo and video, I very, very rarely see companies that do both extremely well. I feel like there's always one that like they're like really good at photo, but their video maybe like suffers just a bit, or maybe they're really good filmmakers and their photo quality is like just okay, you know? And in the luxury space, it really is truly about like experts in their craft, like even down to expertise. Like specialty ice makers that are separate from the bartenders, that are separate from the caterers. Like there's so many different vendors on these luxury events, like 20 something vendors, because they're all special things. Like I think we kind of say the analogy of like when you're in the budget market, you might have someone who like they run the DJ, they run the lighting, they maybe also run the photo booth, and they're like calling out the family shot list names too. Like they wear so many hats and they do so many things, but like they just do them like it's okay. Where like in the luxury space, it's like you're gonna have a band, then you're gonna have a DJ to fill in when the band takes breaks. They're gonna have a specialty lighting person. You're gonna have like a specialty photo booth person or whatever. Like it's all gonna be specialized. So I just feel like if planners are kind of like going for that photo video mix, they might not be like already, in that true luxury space.
Fantastic. I guess, clarification on that difference. Because I think the combined photo video thing like serves couples really well, because it's like the couple get to find one vendor that they like the style and they can handle the thing. They can handle the photo. They can handle the video. It's like less effort for them. So I think like that whole model like works really well for couples. But I think it's interesting when you start to move into planners who want like the best of everything, specialists in everything. That's when being a specialist and not being a jack of all trades stands out, I think, is really
it really does.
Amazing. Well, I think let's cut to break, pay some bills, and we'll jump back in and we'll talk about pricing. Alrighty.
Studio Ninja is the world's highest rated studio management software. It contains a huge suite of tools, from calendar integration and double booking warnings to contract templates and automated client workflows. If you want more time to focus on the creative parts of being a wedding filmmaker and less time on admin, then why not take 50% off when you sign up with the promo code MBWF50 and get your first year of Studio Ninja for as little as $125 US.
Let's start talking about pricing. And by pricing, I want to talk about, I guess, like the offer as a whole. Like how do we start to transition from this model that we've all known and learnt of this three package price anchoring structure, and the psychology of that and how we communicate and how we wrap up our products into that. How much of a deconstruction have you guys found there is between that and how you're positioning your products and what you charge for them in the luxury market?
You want to take this one, Taylor? Or do you want me to take this one?
We're both like waiting. I can get us started and then pass it to you.
Yeah.
Sounds great.
I know, we're so bad. We like talk over each other a lot. Okay, so to answer the first part of your question, of course, like nobody snaps their fingers and all of a sudden, like now they're in the luxury market, right? Like it's a gradual build, of course. And I think that the way you present your pricing and your offers can also be a gradual build. So let's say you do have like your three package system. Great. Maybe the next inquiry you get, you say, here are my cinematography collections. I'm also happy to customize based off of your desired coverage and deliverables, you know? So like you kind of throw it out there. You say like, hey, if you're not seeing exactly what you want, then like, please know that like I can create something custom for you. Like you can kind of dip your toes into that water. And a lot of the times as you begin working your way up, you're getting more inquiries from planners and maybe less from clients. Sometimes planners will actually come to you with a list of what they already need. And so it's really easy to build exactly what they need because they've just told you. So instead of like 8 hours highlight film ceremony, like they're going to want specifically 11 hours and 2 hours the day before and these deliverables. And if you've kind of done the legwork and decided on kind of maybe like a back end a la carte system, like how much each of these like line items are valued at, like for your time, then you can really quickly and easily build something custom. But Kelly actually has a lot of input on this topic.
I still have standard collections. I actually do. I think it's really important to have like a base of where you're coming from, and you never know, like, honestly, like 30 minutes before we jumped on this Zoom, I got like a random phone call and I answered it by chance. It was from Beverly Hills. I'm like, I'm never not going to answer a phone call from Beverly Hills. And so they were like, it was like, hi, I'm a wedding planner here based in Beverly Hills. My clients found you on Instagram. They love your work. Can you like, I didn't have enough time to build a proposal. So it was so good to be able to like, they're like, we're actually meeting with the client in like 20 minutes. They're going to swing by our office. Can you just send me a link to your collections? Like, I didn't have time to build a proposal for them. So I'm like, okay, here's like our collections. But like Taylor said, I said, here are our collections. It's actually like a full guide. I like to send people like through a little bit of like an experience. So it like showcases like, you know, kind of a reel of ours, and then it brings down to like who we are and like what our approach is, like, because we might never be able to get on a call with a client because maybe the client doesn't have the time to, or they don't really want to, but that's kind of our opportunity to like pitch ourselves to them. I like to like bring them through that journey, and then we have our collections, and then we have like different a la carte things that they can add on if they wish. So there's that. Then also, like Taylor said, a planner might say exactly what they need, or they may not like exactly know what they need. I'm kind of big on like raising your bottom line a little bit. And even if they don't know that they want rehearsal dinner, I'll usually build two collections to kind of be like a little bird in their ear being like, oh, rehearsal dinner was an option. I didn't even consider that. We have our photographer on for rehearsal dinner. Why didn't we have our videographer on for rehearsal dinner? And it's like, there's a few thousand dollars more that just like bumped up their collection. And you know, it's not coming from like a selfish, like self-serving thing. Like there's toasts that are given at their rehearsal dinner that are so important to have. I think sometimes there's just not the education there that like that is of importance. I think all of us, like, and those listening, have like walked into a wedding day and you kind of hear like bridesmaids or groomsmen kind of saying like, wow, the speeches were so good last night. And you're like, dang it. Like, why wasn't I there? Like, why didn't I pitch this to them that like I should be there to capture those? So Taylor and I are like really like big on like, we're not salespeople, but we love to approach upselling in a way that is beneficial to the client. That doesn't feel, you know, cheap and salesy, but really, you know, it's just like it makes for a better client experience all around, even past and beyond their wedding day.
Yeah. And what's your, I guess, approach? Because the thing I've been thinking about recently is the kind of like decision fatigue or decision like struggles. Because I mean, even just the three package system, like I have a lot of couples, like basically most couples, I get on the call and they're like, we don't know what we want. What do most couples pick? And so like, is there something that you're, and I think there's, because there's this extra element when you're dealing with like planners too, where as soon as a planner is involved often, and there's like multi-day, you'd sort of custom packages and all these sort of things. What's your approach to sort of, I guess, educating and finessing both the planner and the couple into like what's going to suit them, what they need, and yeah, without coming like from a kind of like salesy point of view, but yeah, getting them on board with like what's going to be best for them. How do you guys go about doing that?
You go for it, Taylor.
It really depends on the process. Like some planners may want to get on a call with you before like having, like pitching you to the client. Some just know exactly what they want to pitch the client and it's kind of like not up for debate. And there's like everything in between on that spectrum, right? So like it really kind of depends and it's very like personality dependent. So I know it's like such not a straightforward answer, at least for me. Kelly, your answer may be different, but for me, I kind of craft my collections because I do the same way as Kelly. Like I have a standard three collections that I just kind of have in my back pocket. If they don't want or need like a custom proposal that I can just like send off quickly. But instead of price anchoring, I'm kind of like giving them everything they need to begin with. So there's not really a decision fatigue. Like my base package comes with, you know, 8 hours of coverage, which for a normal wedding day, like probably is enough. I mean, 10 feels better, but let's just say 8 hours is fine. And then highlight film, ceremony, and toast. So automatically, like they don't have to like hem and haw about what they may want because they don't have an option. Like that's just, you get those things. You know what I mean? Like you can't remove them, at least like the way I do it. Like I do not want them to remove them. That is my minimum. That is what you're getting. So that kind of happens. But for a lot of clients, in the luxury space, $1,000 here and there is not going to like make or break it. And a lot of them are much more like experience and like quality driven rather than like bargain hunting. So where somebody in the mainstream market may try to like haggle you or try to like make adjustments like, oh, how, what can we do to get this down to 7,000? You know what I mean? Like they try to like really alter things. Like the luxury client isn't really doing that and they're trusting your expertise and they're trusting you as a creative partner that they are bringing on and they think that you know best, right? So they already like, they trust you is the only way I can say it. And so coming at it with that perspective and like the authority that it takes in order to communicate that trust is really important. So so that's what's in my bottom package. And then it kind of gets into multi-day coverage and extended coverage from there, which of course is like very like event dependent. Like if a wedding doesn't have all these events, they clearly don't need it. But I do try to communicate that like, you probably are going to want me there. If the photographer is there, you want me there too, basically. But yeah, I think that's the biggest shift that most people need to wrap their minds around is these people are not very price conscious. They just want the best and they trust you as to what that is.
Yeah. And also kind of now, because you were kind of saying, Ben, like, I think when we get into pricing, we're going to bring back this restaurant analogy. So bringing it back to the restaurant analogy, like you said, you sit down in a Michelin star restaurant, there's not really even a menu for you. Or like even taking it on to like Taylor's thing, this could go into either pricing or even like post-production, like the editing. Like when I was serving the budget clientele, I received the most amount of like requests for revisions. Like they had their hand in like all these different things. And it kind of started to shift when I entered the luxury market. I realized that the clientele, they just don't think that way because the mainstream market, they walk into like a Red Robin or a Cheesecake Factory and they order their burger. And then they are telling the server, okay, like, I'm not going to do onions. I'm not going to do tomato. Can you add ranch on that? All this stuff. And then they're just, like, here to just, like, serve whatever they want. Like, when you are, like, a luxury creative partner, like, you're going into that Michelin star restaurant. And a lot of times when you're in, like, high quality restaurants in general, like, you'll see something where it's, like, no requests for substitutions. Because, like, that chef has, like, really finely curated that burger to be exactly how it should be. Like, he's an expert in his craft, and he's spent months, maybe years, perfecting this perfect burger. Like, who are you to come in and say, like, oh, no, I don't want this in it, and I don't want that in it. And so it's, like, these are where our clients, like, our luxury high-wealth clients are dining at restaurants like that. Those are their experiences. They're used to, you know, being led to the experts of everything, even the chef that's making their burger for lunch. So, like, it's automatic for them to realize that, like, oh, like, whoever I'm hiring for my wedding that's going to cost $1 million, like, why would I ask for anything different? I'm just going to have them deliver what they're going to offer me, and then I'm going to be really happy with the end product because I trust them because they're the experts.
Yeah. I think so. That's an interesting one. I want to kind of, I guess, break down and understand this for Alison's a little bit more, where, like, I guess, is it a mindset shift from moving away from, like, what package do they want or could they afford versus what's their best that could be done? Like, is, I don't know, like, thinking about that restaurant analogy, walk in, no menu, they've already just, like, you walk in with the expectation that it's going to be amazing and they just deliver on that.
Yeah.
Is there, because I'm just thinking about the idea of, like, you know, having these options and do you want to add this on, like, the idea of upsells and all these things versus, like, I guess, yeah, working with a planner, hearing what the wedding is and go, okay, this is what it is. Like, is that too kind of, like, forceful? There's no one answer, but
yeah,
what's the kind of,
I feel like a lot of it's
there?
Logistic dependent. Like, I feel like the choices are no longer based off of, like, should I get the ceremony or not? Like, am I even going to watch it? Like, it's like, no, you're getting it. Like, we would not be like, I believe I would not be serving my clients well if I didn't give it to them. So they get it. Right. But now it's like, what does your weekend look like and what coverage do you need from me? So it's like, what does the timeline dictate? Right. Yeah. So, like, a lot of that, like, guesswork is not really on the client's plate. It's like a lot of it's on the planner's plate. And then the client just needs to approve these things. Right. Mm-hmm. And it's also like a lot of the time, what is booked, I don't know, 6 months out, like, is changed before the wedding date, you know, in that, like, 60 to 30 day window before the wedding, when things are getting finalized, guest count is now finalized. Yeah. They have a timeline. They know the events, because a lot of these events are, like, very short timeline production wise, right? Like, they just got engaged and they're like, we have the money to, like, get married now, let's go. And so a lot of changes kind of happen between booking and the wedding date. And the planner will just come to you basically and, like, ask if they can add on coverage, or if they can, you can cover an additional day, or you can bring that to the planner's attention as well. So it's not like a, do I need that Instagram edit or do I need that extra?
Yeah.
Well,
so here's, here's the thing is that I feel like it's easy to wrap your head around, like, especially the custom quoting and stuff when it comes to just, like, coverage. Cause, like, the event is what it is. And if you want me there for, like, it's sort of an easy one for one of, like, we're filming for this X amount of time. I think where it gets tricky and interesting around how you pitch and what you offer and stuff is, I guess, around deliverables, because this is where we, like, veer off severely from photography, where it's like, like, photography is like, you're there for X amount of time, and obviously the value the photographers set for themselves on the quality of their work is X, but it's just like, they're just delivering X amount of photos. It's not, whereas with video, we got, like, there's so many different ways you can slice the pie. And, like, I've been experimenting going into longer films for my clients. Like, one of my clients, I did, like, a 20-minute film for them versus your usual kind of, like, 5 to 10 minute highlight film. And then it's just like, and then I've been doing these, like, collections of little, like, social media vibe things, like, kind of, like, moving images. So it's like, are you guys, what's, I don't know, it gets tricky offering options versus just sort of going like, this is, have it, when it comes to the deliverables and like, and how that's all sliced up and like, do they want, you know, 10 different social media edits? Do they want a 10 minute film or the, do they want a 20 minute film or
yeah,
whatever? So
I think one of the things, and this is like, I think just one of like the most beautiful things about the luxury market is that they're all kind of looking for similar things. So like my high wealth client isn't really looking for like different reels to be created for them. Like they may not even like really want them. Like we actually like kind of run into NDAs a good amount of time. Like they're just more private people. And so like, for me, because I think a lot of times us, and for those listening, like you'll probably maybe you've gotten like a planner in your inbox and they'll say things like, I think it's very standard for planners. And it's just also because like we're the new kids in the block. We're the babies in the industry. They don't really know how to speak our language all that well. Some of them do, but some of them don't. They will say like, hey, I have a client getting married this day. We need 10 hours of coverage. It's going to be like 200 guests. Can you send me a proposal? And then you're like you said, there's so many ways to slice the pie. You're like, well, what do I do from here?
That's like half my work. What's the, what happens after? What do you actually want from this? Because it's not you get X amount of photos. It's like it could look so different.
Yeah.
And like you're saying, some couples would want like might be a high wealth luxury couple who are big on social media and want to like show lots of stuff. And then they're posting lots of photos and they want to post lots of videos.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, like this couple that I was just mentioning, like they were like less public on social media and want to put on a watch party for their friends and create a whole experience. And they want that longer film for the in-person watch party experience and stuff. So, yeah, this is what I was sort of mentioning around like educating the planners on like, I think they've got their head around like what we can do on the filming side. But how do we kind of like figure out video's role in the post-production and like so that they understand like what they can then offer to their clients and what we can do? I don't know.
Yeah. I think when a planner now, I've gotten to the point where I have I just like, even if I get those very vague inquiries, I just go ahead and like send them a proposal based on like what I just think their client's going to want or what I kind of want to do it for. Like, is it like a holiday weekend where I want to make a little bit more money because it's like a peak time? Like then I might build out the collection a little bit bigger because there's like a certain minimum that I want to meet. Like always you got to know what your minimum is and what you want to do things for. So for me, like if they're going to try to like strip something down because they don't care about the doc edits or they don't care about whatever, then I'm like, well, like the price is the price. Like this is what I want to do it for. Like I don't want to do the wedding for less than $15,000 or whatever. So I think I have said things before on like Instagram stories, like just kind of like popping in on Instagram stories and like, hey, planners, like I just have like a quick tip for you. When you're inquiring with a wedding filmmaker, it's a lot different than inquiring with a wedding photographer. It's really important to give like a length of film that the couple is envisioning, like if they're interested in full ceremony, full toast. And like that's always been well received. I think that planners that are heavily invested in video, which are the ones that you want to align with, they want to learn. And so I think like that's a cool conversation to have. But I also think it's important not to like bog planners down with like nitty gritty details that maybe don't make sense at that moment. Yeah. Because I have done that as like a mistake. I've been like, well, like what is it that they're looking for? Like whatever. And like they've already acquired like five other teams that they're like, whatever, this is annoying. I'm going to move on with these other teams that are making my job so much easier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's that figuring out that balance between not bogging them down but figuring out to hone in on how you can solidify your expertise in your craft in the same way that the custom ice maker like knows the ins and outs of like how to make their perfect little ice and they're not bogging the planner down but they're just like communicating like, hey, this is the best option. So I don't know.
I think a lot of it comes down to like two things, like what do you like doing? Like a 20 minute film sounds like torture to me. I am never going to offer that. That's not something I ever want to do. I used to do like hour long doc edits. Like I'm not really enjoying that anymore. Like I really like to like compartmentalize the parts of the day into, you know, toasts, ceremony, and then like an extended reception doc. I'll do that with like the dances and the entrance and any entertainment, like live entertainment they may have. Like I'll do that. Yeah. Right. But I think it's coupling what you want to do as a filmmaker. We all have preferences, along with being the authority, right? You're telling them what they need, and you get to decide what they need because you are the expert. So like you like delivering 3 different reels of their wedding weekend, like put that in one of your packages, right? Like it's okay to have a 3 package system. We're not necessarily price anchoring where we're trying to make that middle one the best. We want them all to really serve our clients well, but maybe the deliverables can shift. So where the bottom package is coverage, highlight, ceremony, toasts, like what we would consider like probably what they need. Maybe the next one has more bells and whistles. That has rehearsal dinner coverage, 2 reels, and a reception doc. And then maybe the top package has 4 days of coverage. I don't know, whatever it is. But like, I don't think that they're going to like really care like what's in there. They're just going to see like, I want that. Yes. And they're not going to like be too into the weeds with your details. Like, and they're going to love it no matter what.
I think the answer is probably going back to what I was saying, like understand like who is your client? What do you want to make? What is the couple that you want to serve? What do they want?
And what do they value? Yeah.
And what do they value? Do they value the 20-minute film? And obviously it needs to start with you, because do I want to make a 20-minute film? Yeah, cool, I do. What couple wants that? And then build off all the messaging from there. All comes down to knowing your brand, knowing your niche. Mm-hmm. Amazing. So, I mean, look, fuck, there's so many things that like I wanted to touch on. There's, you know, the idea of like etiquette on the day and what we wear, all these things. But I think this is probably enough discussion for one day. And where I want to send our listeners next is to your 3-day workshop, which is happening right now. The first day has already happened, but we've got replays. We can jump in. We can catch up. Why don't you guys jump in and tell us about your 3-day workshop and all the goodies that are involved in that?
Yes. So today was our first day. We met live this morning with the filmmakers that have registered for our free 3-day workshop. It's a virtual workshop called The Road to Luxury. We are just lifting the veil on how to like really get in the car and head towards that road to the luxury market for filmmakers that are maybe feeling like they're undercharging, that they're worth more. Maybe they're feeling like a little stale in the market that they're serving, and they're ready to level up into the next market. And it's happening June 5th, which is today, 6th and 7th. And it's just been really a great, we had our first day, and like Taylor and I are so loving blowing these minds of these filmmakers that are understanding like what they can be charging and how much more their business can grow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if you're listening or watching on YouTube and you want to sign up, you can find that at thelevelupco.com/workshop. If you put your name and email in there, you'll get an automatic response with like a link to the Facebook group, a download link for our workbook, and like all the information you need to know. But we also, Ben, can I move on to the next thing that we
have going on? Yeah. Yeah.
Or am I stealing your thunder?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, roll it on down, Taylor.
We also are super excited. We mentioned kind of at the very beginning of this episode that Kelly and I have been like really hitting the ground running, not to like continue with this like road metaphor, but we have created what we are really excited about. It's actually a course. So it's a full framework for luxury filmmakers, the luxury filmmaker framework, if you will. And we're super excited. It lays out everything that you just mentioned, attire, wedding day etiquette, but not only that, but like how to make your films feel more luxury, branding, how to brand yourself, planner relationships, how to pursue those in a very like detailed way. Like all of these things that you really need to know if you want to pursue the luxury market, that Kelly and I have essentially learned from trial and error over the last 20 combined years. We've thrown into this framework, and we're super excited about it and what it can do for this industry and for filmmakers on an individual level. Sorry, my kids are trying to come into my office. That's great. work from home with kids.
Yeah.
And yeah, I forgot where I was going with that. But oh,
no, it's fine. I'll pick you up.
Go ahead. You go for it.
I'll just say it's just like it's been incredible to watch like how you've solidified into this area over the last few years. And it goes back to what we were saying, like it's from everything I've seen, you guys have basically like landed yourselves as the experts in this space. And from everything I've seen, it's been, and everything we've been talked about on the show today, it's clear that you guys know this stuff inside and out. And it's really exciting to see that there's now resources for filmmakers who want to get there and not take 13 years to do it. So yeah, I'm really excited and more than happy to get our listeners into especially that workshop and then straight into your course as well if they want to learn more. So yeah, if you loved what you heard today, go get straight into the workshop. And then if you want to go more and get serious about getting into the luxury market, jump into that course. And because, you know, luxury, bargain hunting, we want a little discount. Why not? Makes total sense. Kelly and Taylor were very, very kind to offer our listeners a discount code. So BetterWeddingFilms200 to get $200 off the course. And we'll have all that information, all the links down below. So you guys can just jump straight in and just binge a bunch of wedding filmmaker luxury education content. It's exciting, guys. Thank you so much for jumping on the call super last minute and just chatting through and popping up the hood. More car metaphors, why not, on the luxury market and how filmmakers can get there. Thank you guys so much.
Thanks Ben.
We're really excited.
Amazing. Alrighty. Woo. Everyone, jump off this podcast, get into the workshop. Okay. We'll see you there. Alrighty, thanks guys.
All right, we'll see you there. Bye.
Bye.